7 times in this short letter, John makes reference to the truth. And I think the fact that he makes so many references in such a short letter underscores and reminds us how central and how vital the truth is to the life of the church. Truth ought always to be central in the minds and in the hearts of the people of God. And that's what John is emphasizing here when he mentions the truth so many times. The truth, the truth, the truth. We've already considered some verses previously. Solomon says we're to buy the truth and sell it not, indicating that we are to set our focus, we're to set our attention upon the truth. There is such a thing as truth. We can know the truth. The Lord Jesus said we can know the truth, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And therefore we've got to set our hearts to seek the truth in contrast to that which is wrong and that which is error. The belief of the truth is all important. God hath chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. A man, a woman will not be saved without believing the truth. If they do not believe the truth that God has revealed in His Word, then sinners will not be saved. They will not be saved. The truth is vital to salvation. It is fundamental to the salvation of the soul. Remember what Paul said? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's only then that we will be saved. If a man does not believe that Jesus is the Lord, if he does not believe that He is risen from the dead, then he will not be saved. The truth is vital. The truth is fundamental to salvation. The belief of the truth. And it is the purpose of the church to be the pillar of the truth. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Every fellowship that calls itself a church has the task, has the responsibility of bearing witness to the truth, upholding and supporting the cause of truth. Now here John brings to the attention of his friend Gaius three features of a believer's relationship to the truth. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Here you have, first of all, our walk in the truth. The believer's walk, the believer's life, is to be a life that is lived according to the truth of God. Walking in the truth. Walking according to the truth. And if a believer walks in the truth, if he walks according to God's word, it'll be seen. John is saying here that the brethren had come to him and they had testified of how this man Gaius was walking in the truth, how he was living in the truth. If a man is walking in the truth, it'll be evidenced in his life. How he lives, how he conducts himself, how he behaves himself, how he relates to other people, how he goes about his business. Every aspect of his life will be governed by the truth of God. And John says, this is what I rejoice in. I rejoice to hear that my children walk in the truth, those whom he had led to the Lord, those whom he had brought to Christ. He says, this is my joy to hear that they're walking in the truth. It's not just a case of having people make professions of faith, but it's a case of having them live a life that is according to the truth. And that's what was John's truest joy. It's good to see a lot of people in the church, and we want to see that, but that's not our greatest joy. You could have a lot of people come to church and yet they may not walk in the truth. This is the great end. This is what our focus is to be. This is what our joy is to be focused on. To see people walking in the truth, according to the truth. Think of a pathway. And the pathway has a border. It has parameters. And you walk within those parameters. And that's what John is saying here. Your life is governed by the truth. You live according to the truth of God. This is the first relationship that we have. Then if you look again at verse 3, you can see our witness to the truth. John is speaking about these brethren who came to him and they testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. These brethren were bearing testimony to John concerning this man Gaius. And as you go on through in verse 6, he says, they have borne witness of thy charity. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. We have got a witness to give. We have got a testimony to tell. And our testimony must always be according to the truth. Remember what the Lord said to his disciples, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Lord has placed you in your circumstances, whatever those circumstances may be. He has placed you in the circle of friends that you have, that you may be a witness for him, a witness to the truth, to speak of him. We are to walk in the truth. We are to witness to the truth. And then in verse 8, you will notice that we are to be workers for the truth. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. This is our relationship. This is not something, when we think of truth, it's not something that's divorced, unattached to us. It's not something that's away out there. Look at the relationship that we have as believers to the truth. We're to walk in the truth. We're to bear witness. And then we are to be workers for the truth. Fellow helpers. The word help there, that word fellow helper literally means fellow workers. Workers together. To the truth. For the truth. Now it's this phrase, this description that I want us to focus on just for a few moments today. Verse 8. John says that believers are to be fellow helpers to the truth. This is God's will for your life. This is God's will for my life. This is the will of God today. And God is saying to us through his servant John, this is what I want you to be. This is what you're to consider yourself as. This is how you're to think about yourself in relation to the truth. Your task, your calling, your purpose, your responsibility is to be a fellow helper to the truth. Now notice firstly the work that we are to be engaged in. It's the work of helping the cause of the truth of God. Fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. Is that not a privilege that God gives to us? That he calls his people to help the cause of truth? There are many ways in which we can help or work for the truth of God. John here informs Gaius of certain brethren who had went forth for Christ's name's sake. Verse 7, if you look at it there, he says of these people who that for his name's sake they went forth. They went forth. He's referring to men who had gone forth with the gospel. Men who had left their homes, their families, men who had left their occupations in order to go forth with the gospel and to tell men and women the message of the grace of God. He's referring to preachers. He's referring to missionaries. He's referring to evangelists, men who have gone forth to tell the message of the gospel. But John also speaks of the work that Gaius had performed in helping these traveling preachers. Look at verse 5. He says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. In other words, these traveling preachers, these missionaries and evangelists, they have borne witness of your charity towards them. And then he says in verse 6, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. You see the picture that's emerging here? There are men who have been called of God to leave their occupations, to leave their homes and families, to go to distant lands to preach the gospel. But there are others whom the Lord has not called to do that. The Lord would have them stay where they are. And to help these traveling preachers, these missionaries, you see what he says here? To bring them forward. To bring them forward. To help them on their way. To assist them on their journey. You see what John is saying? John is saying, Gaius, this is your way of being a fellow helper to the truth. In verse 8, he says, we therefore ought to receive such these traveling preachers that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. He's saying, Gaius, the Lord has not called you to leave your home and go to be a missionary in a far-off land, but he has called you to be a fellow helper to the truth. And that's exactly what you are doing when you help these men forward on their journey. When you show charity and kindness to them, when you assist them in a practical way, that's exactly what you're doing. You're being a fellow helper to the truth of God. You see, the Lord does not call everyone to go forth. Yes, he calls some to do so, but the remainder he calls to help those who go forth. We are fellow helpers, he says. Fellow helpers. When Andrew Fuller heard a missionary doctor speak of the land of India and the great need that was there for the gospel to reach the many thousands of people who were steeped in idolatry and heathen darkness, Andrew Fuller said to his little companion, his little group of friends, he said, we saw a gold mine in India, but it seemed almost as deep as the earth itself. Who will venture to go for us and explore it for us? And in that little company of four men, there was a man called William Carey. And immediately William Carey answered and he said, I will go, but you must hold the ropes. I will go, but you must hold the ropes. And William Carey went. Back in the beginning of the 19th century, when they didn't have the means of transport that we have today, it took a long, long time to get to India. They faced many, many difficulties, many, many discouragements. But he was going down into that mine in order to find precious gems for the Lord's crown. And back home, his friends, Andrew Fuller and others, they formed a missionary society to raise the support that was needed, and they were holding the ropes. You see, they all did not go. But nevertheless, they were still fellow helpers to the truth. For every one person who enters full-time service, there are many, many others who are needed to hold the ropes. And that's what John is saying here. That we should be fellow helpers to the truth. This is how we should view ourselves in the work of God. If the Lord has not called us to go, he has called us to hold the ropes for those who have gone. And we can hold the ropes in prayer. How vital prayer is in the work of God. We can hold the ropes in practical ways. Here were these traveling preachers coming, and Gaius was assisting them practically, helping them. We can hold the ropes by encouragement. Do you know just how much it means for a missionary to receive a letter or an email from somebody back home? And those people have left their homes, left their families, left their loved ones. And just to receive an encouraging letter, just to receive an email with the modern means of communication that we have today, what that means. And yet, that's a way that we can be fellow helpers to the truth. Sending a little card, so many ways. John is saying, he's saying to Gaius, this is what God has called us to be, fellow helpers to the truth. That's why I like to bring the students. I like to encourage this. I was talking to one of the fellows on Thursday morning. I was asking him what the Lord had called him to do. He said the Lord had called him to mission work, and it was his burden to go to Asia to work in translation, that he could translate the scriptures into the language of the people. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not very good at languages. That's not where my abilities and talents lie. But I can certainly be a fellow helper to somebody like that. And I can bring students to this church, and I can introduce them to the people, and I can get the people to pray for them, and the people to get to know them, so that those relationships can be formed, that in coming years, the prayer chain will be strengthened, encouragement can be given to them. You see, there's so many different ways that we can be fellow helpers to the truth. This is the work that God has given us to do. And we should always be looking for those avenues. How can I be a fellow helper to the truth? How can I be a fellow helper for the truth? Notice not only the work, but notice that this work is for all. Did you notice how John wrote in the plural in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be. He doesn't say you should receive such that you might be a fellow helper to the truth, but we, he's speaking in the first person plural, he's including himself here. And by doing so, he's indicating that this responsibility belongs to all believers. John is the apostle. It's possible he was the only apostle left living at this time in the early church. It's possible. John was one of the last apostles to be martyred for the Lord. But yet, he puts himself in this category and he says, this is my calling as well as yours. Fellow helpers to the truth. There's a work for the apostle John to do, yes, but there's also a work for a man like Gaius who wasn't an office bearer in the church. You know, we should never think in a way that's contrary to Scripture. Some people think there's nothing for them to do, that they cannot be fellow helpers to the truth, but that's an unscriptural way of thinking. It's exactly what the devil wants us to think. Biblical thinking is this: we are all fellow helpers to the truth, no matter who we are. We're all fellow helpers. Each and every one of us have a part in helping the cause of truth. You say this morning, I cannot preach, I cannot stand before an audience of people. But you can bring people to hear the preaching. It's not so much a case of dwelling on the things you cannot do. Begin to think of the things that you can do. Don't think negatively. Don't sit down and say, I can't do this and I can't do that. Begin to think, what can I do for the Lord? What can I do to be a fellow helper for the truth? Think positively. Think scripturally. Because we are all included in this. Fellow helpers to the truth. If you cannot go, you can help someone forward on their journey who can go. You know, God calls men to be missionaries, and he calls other men to pay their airfare. That's the way God works. If we cannot go ourselves, we can help bring forward on their journey someone whom the Lord has called to go. We have all got a part in this. But let me move on and let me make the point that in relation to this, no one is neutral in this work. I want you to notice here how John immediately In verse 9, he brings in reference to a man called Diotrephes. As soon as he talks about being fellow helpers to the truth, he brings in this man's name called Diotrephes, and he introduces him as a man who spent his time opposing the truth of God. He says in verse 9 that Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. He speaks of this man who has spent his time with malicious words. You see, the word prat, it's a Bible word. And it literally means to overflow with talk. That's the meaning of this word, to overflow with words. And these words were malicious. They caused sorrow and pain. He was speaking against John and speaking against these other itinerant preachers and evangelists. And he was doing much damage. I learned in school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. There was never a more untrue proverb in all the world. Names do harm. That's what John is saying here. These malicious words, that word malicious means that which causes sorrow or pain. These words. And here's a man, instead of being a help to the truth, instead of helping forward the cause of truth, he's only hindering it. He's hindering it. John is teaching us that no man is neutral in his relationship to the truth. Men will either help the truth or they will hinder it. You see that in verse 11, as soon as he mentions Diotrephes, he says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." What he is saying is there's no neutrality in this matter. You're either for or against. You're either helping or you're hindering. You're either following what's good or you're following that which is evil. There's no neutrality. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30? He said, "He that is not with us or with me is against me." Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." He's saying there's no neutrality. You can't sit on the fence. There's no middle ground here. You're either all for the truth or else you're against it. You're either for Christ or you're against him. There's no neutrality, and we've got to see that. And we've got to resolve in our minds to be fellow helpers to the truth. I'm going to help the cause of truth. But that brings me to the final point, and it's this. That this work of helping the truth of God will face hardships. That's exactly what we learn here in relation to Diotrephes. John reminds us that once we've yielded ourselves to the Lord and to his cause, we can expect to receive and meet with opposition. The cause of truth in this world is never long without opposition. Gaius was wanting to help the truth of God, desiring to help these traveling preachers, but he came up against opposition from Diotrephes. See that in verse 10. That he wasn't content just to speak against them, but he didn't receive the brethren, but he forbade them that would and casteth them out of the church. So here's Gaius and his friends wanting to assist the cause of truth and these traveling preachers, and Diotrephes is speaking against it and he's opposing it, and he would hinder them and he would seek to throw them out of the church. Because they were seeking to assess the cause of truth. Opposition is to be expected. And it ought never to be a surprise to us. If you and I will give ourselves to be fellow helpers to the truth of God, we can expect to meet with hardships, with malicious deeds and malicious words. We should expect that. And God allows it because opposition is a test of character. It's a test of the strength of our character, the strength of our determination, the strength of our resolve. Bob Jones Sr., when he founded Bob Jones University, a Christian university, he used to say to the students, he used to say to them every year, take a subject that you don't like. Take a subject that you really hate, you really detest. Make sure that each year you take a subject that you don't like. Because the strength of a man's character is determined by what it takes to stop him. The strength of a man's character is determined by what it takes to stop him. And that's a biblical principle. Solomon said in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And many fall at the first hurdle, the first obstacle, the first sign of hardship. They stumble, they fall, they give up. But we've got to be made of sterner stuff. Character that recognizes that truth cannot fail. And yes, we will meet with opposition. We will meet with malicious words. When you set yourself to be a fellow helper to the truth, there will be those who will be prats. Yeah, they'll overflow with talk and with malicious words that cause harm and sorrow and pain. And God's just testing the strength of our character. What's it going to take to make you give up? What's it going to take to make you stop in the cause of truth? Opposition, you see, is a test of our character, the test of our resolution. And true character realizes that the cause of truth cannot fail. The cause of truth cannot fail. Although truth will be greatly opposed in this world, it cannot, it will not fail. Truth will always be triumphant. Oh yes, there'll be times when the world will take the truth and slay it, and place it in a sealed tomb, and rejoice over its apparent death and defeat. But truth will always rise again triumphant and victorious. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. And the world rejoiced when they sealed the tomb in the garden near Calvary's cross. The world rejoiced. They thought that truth was defeated. But on the third day, truth rose triumphant and victorious. The cause of truth can never fail. Even when it seems as if the opposition of the world is so great and so fierce and so relentless, that Christ's cause has been defeated. Truth can never fail. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth. We can do nothing against the truth. When you read the history of the Bible, when you read the work of God in providence, you know what that work is, what that history is? It's God making the wrath of man to praise him. When man did his worst, God only used him as a servant to advance the cause of truth. When they took the martyrs to the stake, and they thought that they would silence the preaching of the gospel by burning the preachers at the stake. The effect was this. The blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. The more the world opposed, the more the church spread. The cause of truth can never fail. And when we set our hands to the work of helping the truth, we're setting our hands to a task, to a cause that will be eternally triumphant. Eternally triumphant. Yes, there will be opposition. There will be those who will speak with malicious words, who will oppose. But let us not be discouraged and let us not grow weary. But let us see what John says in this verse, that God has called us to be fellow helpers to the truth. No matter who we are, what we are, what abilities we have and what abilities we don't have, God has called each one of us who profess faith in Christ to be fellow helpers to the truth. And therefore, this morning, by way of application, each one of us, right now, at this moment in time, should be asking the Lord, Lord, what way can I help the cause of truth? What can I do to help forward the cause of truth? We will never know the joy of the Lord in its fullness until we're doing what God intends us to do. And when we do what God intends us to do, we will find a joy that is unspeakable and a joy that's full of glory. John said that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Learn to think of yourself in this light as one who is a fellow helper